The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Welcome to another live Wrestling with Jonas, episode 194. So we're just a few weeks away from that magical 200 episode landmark. But today, got a fantastic guest. I'm really, really excited to be speaking to Jeremy Prophet. Jeremy, all the way over there in Canada, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It is such a privilege and honor to be able to come on here and share my story with yourself as well as your illustrious audience. I love my fans over in the UK on the other side of the pond, so I'm looking forward to sinking my teeth into this episode and delivering that truth like I always do.
Indeed, we've got the harbinger of truth with us. But before we get chatting to Jeremy, over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Jeremy about his wrestling career, 15-year career up till now, what he's been up to over the last year or so during the pandemic, all of his activity with Jofa in the ring, and what the future holds for Jeremy Prophet. But if you have any questions you want to send Jeremy, any comments, any questions, send them through to us live, and we'll do our very, very best to answer your questions here on this live edition of Wrestling with Jonas. But first of all, Jeremy, it's an honour and a privilege and a delight to be speaking to you all the way over there in Canada. To kick things off, you're the fourth ever recipient of the Chris Jericho Award, the Jericho Award, which entitled you to a one-on-one training session with the legendary wrestler and trainer Lance Storm. A hell of an honour, a hell of a privilege, a real kind of blast for you. How did you feel when you first realised that you had achieved that award, had won the award to have that one-on-one training session with Lance? And I think it was done via announcement by Mr. Jericho himself.
Well, quite frankly, I've been asked this question by a lot of people, and the answer remains the same. When I applied for the potential of being able to win the Jericho Award, I had a good feeling that I was going to get it. In fact, I knew I was going to get it. I think it would be nothing short of a miscarriage of justice if I didn't get it, because I think I put forward such a strong campaign. Not just myself, but all those that supported me, all the people who liked and retweeted. We created a very strong campaign for myself to be one of the recipients. And anyone who knows me knows that Chris Jericho has been a huge influence on my career. So even though the actual prize itself was the training with Lance Storm, which I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to get that. Getting the nod from Chris Jericho, getting his stamp of approval on my body of work is actually just as meaningful to me. And I think that it definitely went a long way to helping get my message out there, helping people to know more about who I am and to see the value in what Jeremy Prophet stands for. As for the training itself with Lance Storm, I mean, I had the opportunity to sit down with him, go over one of my matches. He brought a lot of great insight that really helped to expand my perspective on wrestling. And believe me, I'm always growing as a performer. Even though it's been 15 years I've been doing this, I've not become jaded to wanting to learn new skills and to be the absolute best at just about every aspect of professional wrestling. So it was a welcomed opportunity. And afterwards, I had even taken additional sessions with Lance Storm out of my own pocket because, quite frankly, I believe in not just taking a handout, I believe in giving back. So I actually purchased additional sessions with Lance Storm for myself, and I was also doing a giveaway, which is still going on. And so if anyone out there is listening, the rules are pretty simple. You just have to follow me on Twitter, subscribe to Jofo in the Ring on YouTube, and then just let us know who you think should be the recipient. We're going to actually have Lance on a future episode of Jofo in the Ring. It's already
Really awesome.
Yeah, it's already been recorded. It's in the can and good to go. We're actually just waiting for his episode of Talk is Jericho to come out first so that Chris can have the first opportunity to showcase that. And then we'll release ours, which will coincide with the end of the contest where we'll announce the winner. So definitely lots of time. Just follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Prophet, J-E-R-E-M-Y, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, just like you see scrolling at the bottom of your screen right now. And then you'll be able to, you know, more or less find out all the details of it. But also let us know. It's not just for Canadian wrestlers. It could be for anyone, because I want to give it back. I don't just want to be one of these wrestlers who takes a handout. You know, you're never going to see me starting a GoFundMe. I barely even encourage people to purchase merchandise because, quite frankly, I don't need the money. I'm a self-made man, and I've gotten as far as I've gotten on my own dollar. I don't intend on being any different, but I do believe in giving back. And so Chris gave me this opportunity. I want to keep the ball rolling and make sure that other people who maybe aren't in as fortunate of a position as I am in this business can also get that same opportunity. And so that's pretty much what it comes down to. I feel very blessed to have gotten that. I encourage everyone to check out Lance Storm's virtual training, because it can definitely be a feather in the cap to any aspiring wrestler or current professional wrestler out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to be getting into that in a bit more detail very, very soon. But let's talk about the promo that kind of got you the Jericho Award and the one-on-one training with Lance Storm, because it was a very, very passionate promo that earned you the award. And it was essentially detailing how Canadian talent quite often gets overlooked, especially with many of the bigger companies south of the border. Tell us about the genesis of that promo you cut that eventually, let's say, got you recognized by Chris Jericho, by Lance Storm, and that training session, because it is something that you're very, very passionate about, isn't it? The subject of that promo that got you the award in the first place.
There is absolutely nothing that I am more passionate about than the issues and obstacles faced by Canadians in trying to make it in the wrestling world. The fact that we have so much against us, whether it be trying to get a proper work visa, which is inaccessible unless you have a major company that's going to support you, the amount of finances that you have to invest in that, which to me, that's, again, no issue. But when it comes down to it, if this were a problem I could just throw money at and make disappear, I would have done that a long time ago. But you do need the backing of a major company. And when it comes down to it, Canadians are not appraised on the same level as wrestlers on the American independent scene. So a lot of the fans, promoters, company owners, they simply think because Canadians aren't prominent on the American independent scene in the GCWs, PWGs, Evolves, IWA Mid-South, CZWs, whatever it may be, that our skill level is not up to par with the American standard, which couldn't be further from the truth. So I'm really just fighting for equality for Canadians throughout the wrestling world, and for people to see that there should be more Canadians represented, but people don't realize the obstacles that stand in our way. So as for the promo, as you call it, which I don't refer to it as a promo, because it was really just a discussion that was going on with myself and my executive producer and one of my co-hosts. And they had just said, you know, we should just film this and put it out there. And I said, okay, fine. Film me doing this rant and talking about all of these issues. And I want it to be one take. I don't want there to be any, whether I flub a line or not, which I'm not accustomed to doing anyways. You can see I'm a pretty free-flowing speaker. I really don't care. I want it to be as raw and as unfiltered and as emotional, and above all else, as true to what I feel within my heart and my soul. And I just want to put that out there. And I wasn't putting that out there for Chris Jericho. I was putting that out there just to raise awareness, because there is a huge amount of ignorance towards Canadians, as I go into detail about. And so that's really what that was. That was me speaking passionately from the heart. Now, I do fancy myself something of a good promo, I guess you could say, if I could use the wrestling vernacular. But I do feel that I'm also a very good and eloquent speaker. And so I wanted to showcase the issues in a matter-of-fact, plain-of-day way where people could understand and realize that this has to change. It's no different than a lot of the adversities, you know, faced in the world, whether it be gender inequality, race inequality. It comes down to the same thing where we don't have that same level playing field. And so I want to create that for Canadians, for myself as well. But I want to show that it can be done, that you can have a career in Canada, achieve your merits within your own country, and be scouted to the major leagues, much like it is throughout a lot of professional sports. However, wrestling has somehow lost this step or just turned a blind eye to it. So I kind of refer to it as a systemic ignorance. I don't want to get too far off from your question that you asked, but that promo is really no different than me talking to you right now, or if you were to walk up to me on the street and ask me about that issue. It's something that I'm very passionate about, and they just decided to put it on film, put it out there for the world, and I was able to put aside any reservations that I may have about that, because I don't mind bearing my soul to people, because I live, eat, breathe, and sleep this every day. It's the first thought on my mind when I go to bed at night, first thought on my mind when I wake up in the morning. What can I do to make things better for Canadians like myself?
Yeah, 100%. And like you say, wasn't necessarily recorded for the Chris Jericho Award, but it certainly got his attention. It got a lot of people's attention around the world, and it certainly helped to put you further on the map as well. But before we go any further, let's dig a little bit deeper into the Canadian wrestling scene. Let's kind of showcase it and champion it a little bit while we're on the subject, because certainly over here in the UK, we don't get a lot of coverage of the Canadian wrestling scene. And like you say, most of the video clips and hype and news online is about companies in the US, companies over here in the UK, companies across Europe. But it's almost as if the Canadian wrestling scene, I'm sure you'll agree with this, and in my opinion, the Canadian wrestling scene is one of the best kept secrets of world wrestling. You know, when people's automatic thoughts of Canada and Canadian wrestling, they automatically go to the Harts, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Lance Storm, and other legends of that from 20, 30 years ago. But just speak up for the next couple of minutes about your experience of the Canadian wrestling scene, certainly companies that you've wrestled for, and why it shouldn't be overlooked anymore, and who we should be keeping an eye on in terms of companies and kind of top talent besides yourself that we should be paying more attention to.
Yeah, it absolutely shouldn't be overlooked, because as you've said, Canadians have contributed greatly to professional wrestling for many, many years. And that's from, you know, BC all the way out to the Maritimes. There have been many great wrestlers that have come and gone. And it's just that as of late, the well is kind of dried up, not because the talent is not there, but because the scouting is not there, and we don't have that same level playing field. If there were an influx of all the top Canadian talents throughout the American independent scene, you'd be talking about Canadians more than you'd be talking about Americans. That's how good the talent is here. There are great talents that I could name tons and tons of great companies. Talents like my good friend Speedball Mike Bailey, one of the absolute best in the world, who's had the chance to prove that everywhere outside of the United States. Although when he was in the United States, he was well on his way to becoming one of the top stars there. And we started virtually at the same time in more or less the same place and have had equally long careers. And we've been able to show that, you know, we have to fight tooth and nail here in Canada and be 10 times better than the average independent wrestler who really just has to be good at one thing. I mean, again, I don't want to toot my own horn, but when you look at Jeremy Proffitt, I look at myself and I say, I don't see a Jeremy Proffitt in any of the major companies. I don't see anyone who has my look, along with my speaking ability, along with my athletic ability, that puts it all together. And it's not the fact that that's a byproduct of me necessarily, you know, having to be that way, but it's me choosing to be that way, because if I'm just good at one thing, then clearly there are tons of people who could do the same job as me. As a Canadian, it's almost no different than, you know, back in the old days of Major League Baseball, which, you know, maybe you don't know too much about because you're from the UK and Major League Baseball is an American organization. But they used to not let black players play in Major League Baseball. They had their own leagues called the Negro Leagues, where black players were relegated to playing. So for a black player to make it into Major League Baseball, which did eventually happen to the point where they now are more or less represented on every single team, they had to be twice as good as a white player to be able to get the opportunity. So with Canadians, it becomes the same thing. The expenses that go into getting a work visa, the expenses that go into all the paperwork and everything involved in that, it's a big upfront expense. So it's definitely a lot easier to take a wrestler off the American independent scene, put him on a per appearance deal, give him $20 and a bottle of water, and there you have a talent that you can more or less test drive and see if he connects with your audience, rather than the upfront expense to even try out a Canadian talent. So we kind of have to be twice as good, if not more, to even get noticed. So that's why I've always wanted to fine tune and sharpen my skills. But if you want me to you know, mention a few other names, from coast to coast throughout Canada, there are tons of great wrestlers, and I wouldn't even be doing justice to all of them. But, you know, if you look at top tag teams, for example, we have a team from here, TDT, Mathieu Saint-Jacques and Thomas Dubois, two outstanding wrestlers that definitely deserve to be showcased on a world stage. Easily the best tag team here in Quebec, despite the fact that I beat them for my most recent IWS Tag Team Championship. Still hold. Nonetheless, great talents, definitely deserving of national TV exposure and to be shown on a worldwide stage. You look at other great talents, you know, we have Frankie the Mobster, Frankie the Beast King. This man, tremendous physique, tremendous on the microphone, would be an asset to any company, one of the best here for many, many, many years, and you know, still has a lot in the tank and a lot to give. You know, whether it be tag teams, heavyweights, cruiserweights, you know, a lot of great wrestlers. I've shared the ring with maybe the most intense, physically violent wrestler in all of Canada, Hannibal, who has recently, you know, stepped into retirement. But when it comes to intensity and sheer ferocity, there's nobody that matches him. And there are, like I said, tons. I could go on and on. Paul Bailey, yeah. Kobe Durst, Danny Duggan. You know, these are just throwing out names from here, there, and everywhere. But
of course,
such great wrestlers. I see what Giselle Shaw is doing over on your end of the world. Tremendous female talent. You know, when it comes to Canada, we have produced top talents the world over that could be main eventers, champions, future Hall of Famers. And so, again, I know I'm probably not doing justice to all of them, naming just a few from here and there. But if you look into companies like the IWS, like Great North Wrestling, like C4, like ECPW, Kaizen Wrestling, CWE, you know, there are tons and tons of tremendous Canadian companies loaded with once-in-a-lifetime talent that unfortunately aren't getting their just desserts because of the geographical issues that we face by being born here. I mean, look, if I were born in Hoboken, New Jersey, rather than Montreal, Quebec, I'd probably be already on my way to getting my Hall of Fame ring. But unfortunately, the obstacles that I face are a lot more difficult than what the average American person will have to face.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, Canadian wrestling, a lot of the Canadian companies are some of the best kept secrets in the world of pro wrestling. But thank you for kind of going into that. But anybody that knows you, Jeremy, knows you, you're a proud Canadian, you're a proud native of Quebec as well, which is steeped in wrestling history. But tell us about growing up as a wrestling fan in Quebec, you know, back in the day, how that inspired you to eventually don the tights yourself.
Well, when it comes down to it, I always wanted to be a wrestler. It's what I say in all the interviews that I do is I did a lot of sports in my life. And it surprises me that a lot of the wrestlers, especially here locally, don't have an athletic background. And so with me, I mean, I participated in many sports, 15 years of hockey, 16 years of baseball, did track and field, learned boxing. These are, you know, all things that I had done to more or less, you know, just for fun. But I always say I was a wrestler playing these sports. And even though I had a lot of success, wrestling was what was in my heart. That's what I would see on TV. That's what I wanted to make my living doing. And that's what I still do believe that I'm put on this earth to do. And so I was a wrestler doing all those things. And wrestling has always been a huge part of my life since a young age, since 5 years old. And I started training at a fairly young age too. I was about 17 when I first started training. And I think it's one of the things that gives me an edge over a lot of the competition is that nowadays you do this for 7-8 years, you're considered a veteran. Someone's doing this for 7-8 years, I have twice as much experience as they do. That's twice as many, you know, matches, twice as many promos, twice as many bumps and bruises. And miraculously, by the grace of God, I've never sustained an injury in the entire time I've done wrestling. So I've never had any time off until COVID hit. But beyond that, you know, no concussions, no torn ligaments, no broken bones, nothing that has kept me out of the ring and unable to perform the very next day. So I think I'm also really durable and made for this. Again, I try to have as little weaknesses as possible. Nobody is perfect, from, you know, the top Hall of Famers in the industry to the lowest trainee just starting out. But when it comes down to it, I love professional wrestling. I would do this every single day if possible. I don't need days off. I don't want days off. And I just try to be better and better every single day.
Yeah. And am I right in thinking that you were trained initially or fairly early on by Jacques Rougeau?
Yeah, that's correct. My first...
Tell us about Jacques as a trainer, because obviously a legendary wrestler, part of the fabulous Rougeau brothers. I remember him back in the early 90s as the Mountie and part of the Quebecers with Carl Houllet. But tell us about that experience and starting training with him. How did you get involved with Jacques as a trainer and a trainee?
Jacques was the only wrestling school that I knew of here in Quebec. I would later find there were maybe at the time three or four other schools, but Jacques had the pedigree. Jacques had the name, former Intercontinental Champion, Tag Team Champion. If I was going to go to a wrestling school, I wanted to be trained by the best. I didn't want to settle for someone who had not accomplished anything in the wrestling business. So Jacques was leaps and bounds above anybody else. I don't regret going to his school. I think that I am the performer I am today because of the training that I received there. And Jacques was always a gentleman with me. I know a lot of people had different relationships with Jacques. I was not someone that had any animosity with him. He was outstanding with me, taught me a lot, treated me very well. I dare say he treated me maybe even a little bit better than a lot of the students, because I was able to get in the ring and begin performing and having matches very early on. It's almost unheard of at that school that I started my training there, and I was in the ring in about 4 months doing my first match. So
that's good.
I was a natural and a quick learner, or they saw something in me and had enough faith in me at that time to be able to put me in the position that they did to start off so soon. And I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, 100%. And tell us a bit about your kind of early beginnings in the business, because like I say, you was in your first match within a matter of months. I believe that a young Kevin Owens kind of came in at around the same time as you, obviously a Montreal native. Did you ever get in the ring with Kevin Owens, and did you ever square up with him or team up with him at all?
So there's a big misconception when it comes to Kevin and I, with regards to the training, that we were there at the same time. Kevin is a little older than me. Kevin did begin training a little bit before I did. And when it comes down to it, the time frame, there was only 2 weeks of overlap of when Kevin was leaving Jacques Wrestling School and when I joined. There were only 2 weeks overlap. I believe I met him once. We were both there on the same day, which was actually the day that he told Jacques he was leaving the school. So okay. I didn't know him from Adam. I knew more the legend of Kevin Owens than I did the actual who he was. And so years would go by, and you know, we would go down different paths, and we did end up having a few matches we were both involved in. I teamed with him. That was the first time we were ever in the same match. He and I were a tag team for one match. We also then had a triple threat match where we were against each other. And then we also had a four team, it may have been a three team ladder match where he and I were on opposing teams. And so it's unfortunate, because I do think that Kevin was considered one of the top guys here. And me, I'm like a bloodthirsty lion. Like, if you're on top, then I'm looking to sink my teeth and go for the jugular and tear your throat out and, you know, watch you bleed out. That's me. I want to challenge the best. I mean, you only know how good you are when you fight the best. So I was looking for those matches. They unfortunately didn't materialize. I don't know why, but that's the extent of my working with Kevin. You know, we had a bit of an incident at one point, but, you know, we smoothed that over, I feel. And the last thing I remember was I wished him good luck on his tryouts with WWE. And that was pretty much the end of that. And I get asked the Kevin thing a lot. And I just look back at it, and I think it's unfortunate we didn't get to work together a lot more.
Yeah, I thought there was some sort of a kind of crossover between you two, but I wasn't sure how much of a crossover there was. But throughout your career, Jeremy, you've wrestled so many legends of the business, Hall of Famers. I mean, Lanny Poffo, Brutus Beefcake, Coco Beware, Scott Steiner, Rey Mysterio, and many, many more. What was it like to jump in the ring with some of these legends and Hall of Famers? And any fun or interesting stories of getting into the ring with some of these larger-than-life characters? I know you've got one or two.
Well, when it comes down to it, I mean, every time you get to wrestle somebody who is further ahead of you in the business, it's a great opportunity. But I look at it as, look, I'm one of their peers. You know, I'm getting in there with them. But like I said, I'm that young, hungry lion. I'm bloodthirsty. I'm looking to tear at the jugular, no matter who it is in there with me. So it's an opportunity to put the spotlight on myself when I'm in there and be able to have people look at that and say, oh, you know, we paid to see Rey Mysterio, or we paid to see Coco Beware, whoever it may be. But they leave remembering Jeremy Prophet. I look at it as an opportunity. I don't go in there like a scared child. You know, I left the fan part of me, and I was a very big wrestling fan, and to a certain extent still am, but I leave the fan part of me behind, because now I'm in there with a coworker, with somebody I'm going in there to make money with. And so when it comes down to it, I want to perform at my absolute best. And I think that wrestling someone who's been to the dance and made a dollar, as I like to say, will always bring out the best in you if they bring their work boots. And, you know, and I've been fortunate to have wrestled, like you said, people like, you know, Rey Mysterio, people like the current WWE champion, the almighty Bobby Lashley. You know, there's a lot of top performers in this business I've had the chance to be in there with. I almost say more so than a lot of talent, that are currently still on the independents. But, you know, I am Canadian, so the opportunities aren't just handed out to me, nor would I want it any other way. But, yeah, anytime you get to perform against those guys, it's always a learning experience, and it's always a way to level up your game and to show that you belong amongst the elite. And that's why I believe that in my heart. Like I said, I've been doing this for 15. It's going to be 16 years in a matter of days. And so I like to look at myself as a multiple degree black belt of what I do. And what I do is delivering the truth in and out of the ring. And so I just want to have the opportunity to showcase those skills against the very best. And I still think if you were to put Jeremy Proffitt in the ring against any of the top performers, whether it be Bobby Lashley again, whether it be a Kenny Omega, whether it be whoever is perceived as being a top superstar, I will bring out something in them that most don't. And I will show that my place is amongst those people, people with the same level of experience as me, who may have just had the opportunity to do it under brighter lights and in front of a bigger audience.
Yeah. And were all of those stars I mentioned, one or two that I didn't, were they all receptive to you as the newer, younger star? Not necessarily in putting you over, but in kind of allowing you to shine in the match, or were there any kind of difficult customers along the way?
Other than Coco Beware, which I think might be where most people go in these interviews with me. I think that everyone else
maybe
that everyone else was more than willing to do business. You know, I mean, I look at having a best of three trilogy with Scott Steiner, and you know, I took two out of those three matches. You know, I look at it as you're a businessman when you're in wrestling. So when it comes down to this, is what the promoter or what the people want, I don't see any reason why anyone would put up a fuss. Again, aside from Coco Beware, I've never encountered that, and I've wrestled tons of people, many Intercontinental champions, former WWE champions, up-and-coming talents that are now maybe just getting the spotlight on them. I faced an entire, rogues gallery of different challengers at different skill levels. And I'm not so blasé to the industry that, you know, I refuse to wrestle anyone. It's one of the things I'm most proud of. I don't refuse. To me, this is the fight game. You can't refuse a fight with anybody, no matter how low down the pecking order they may be. Because at one point, that was all of us who were in the business. Everyone started out somewhere. So I don't look at somebody and just dismiss them because they're of a certain skill level or they're beneath the typical caliber of opponent I get. If that's what the promoter, if that's what the paying customer wants to see, I want that person who works that 9 to 5 to perhaps earn only minimum wage, to bring their family to the show, to be able to see that match if that's what they want to see. I don't discriminate because I still have the mentality of the hardworking fan in my mind and want to make sure that that person gets the absolute best show possible.
Yeah, 100%. And one person I want to ask you about is PCO, Carl Pierre Olay. And of course, a lot of people know him from the Quebecers days, from WWF, and when he was Jean-Pierre Lafitte. And I remember he was a particular favourite of mine back in the mid-90s. But you got to wrestle him after he had taken a break from the business for several years. And he was just on the return, wasn't he? Before he became the monster PCO that we all know and love nowadays. But I think when you wrestled him, I think it was maybe 2017, he was still in his Quebecers gear. He was kind of just returning after several years absence. So it was a very interesting and intriguing opportunity for both of you, really, for you to make your name against kind of somebody that had wrestled in the big leagues, and for him kind of on the way back up. Quite an interesting experience, and you actually defeated him in the match. But tell us about your experience with PCO.
Yeah, it's interesting because PCO also, you know, he has a big connection to Jacques, being that they won tag team championships together.
Yeah.
He was training at Jacques' school for a while too, and his exodus was kind of around the same time as Kevin, which coincided with my entering the wrestling school and the wrestling business. Up and down the roads, he and I rarely ever crossed paths. I'd say we were only on a handful of shows together where he and I performed in different matches on different parts of the card. And the only time I really got to sit down and get to know him was when we had that first match at Great North Wrestling. And right away we clicked. We had very good chemistry, very similar ideas. And I knew that that was going to be the start of something good for him because he's always been someone who has adapted to the times. Let's keep in mind, the man is in his early 50s. And he's still going with the best in the world because he can.
Oh, 100%.
And what I always like to say is there's a similarity between he and I, because believe it or not, as much as I come across as a very likable, relatable person, whether people believe that or not, I do have my fair share of enemies, as does he, except that he managed to outlive all of his enemies by being more durable, more resilient, and more adaptable to change with the times and keep himself relevant. So I look at him as a role model in that same way, that I've outlived a good portion of my enemies, people who have now gone on to have families and, you know, focus on other ventures and have more or less given up on their dreams. I'm not that person. I'm the person who still continued plowing forward, uninjured, never burnt out. I don't want time off. I want to be wrestling. It kills me to not be wrestling. So I think he and I both share that same passion, because he managed to outlive his enemies and reinvent himself and stay relevant. So yeah, when we had that match, it really clicked. I think we gave the people a very entertaining match. And I mean, as you can see with the finish, he had no issues there with, you know, me being the one to take that one. And I think we built a very good friendship from there, to the point where I started working with him on his videos for Ring of Honor that he was doing, PCO Justice, as the main antagonist. And I do plan on working with him again. And, you know, he's someone who, much like how Jacques was a trainer to me, I'd say that Carl is more of a friend. He's someone that I regularly speak to, pick up the phone. We talk for, if we can talk for less than 3 hours, that's a miracle. But he's someone that I talk to extensively, someone that I turn to for advice and mentorship. And again, I've never been one to shy away from humbling myself to be a sponge and to learn from veterans, to learn from people who, like I say, have been to the dance and made a dollar in this business. And I want to keep learning every day. I want to, you know, be able to absorb as much knowledge as possible to be the best me once that opportunity finally arrives where I'm the one on a national stage. So yeah, he's someone I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and I feel ultimately blessed to be in the same orbit as him and to get to learn and exchange with him.
Yeah, 100%. We've had Jofa in the ring reach out to you, actually, just to say hi. But the Prophets, there we go. They're obviously watching back at home. But just on the subject of PCO, I was a huge fan of his when he teamed up with Jacques as the Quebecers. And then later on, he had the kind of unfortunate pirate gimmick. But he really demonstrated during that short run as Jean-Pierre Lafitte that he had the power, the agility. He had youth on his side as well back then, and he was like just a cannonball around that ring, and he was just absolutely phenomenal. But unfortunately, internal politics got the better of that run. But I really, really wish that they'd kind of done a lot more with him and utilised him the way that he should have been utilised. But let's just skip to our next question. And I am kind of skipping around a little bit with timelines here a little bit, Jeremy. But 2010, this was your WWE experience, wasn't it? Now, you're going to kind of have to correct me here, but I think that you spent a few days in Florida, didn't you? Possibly with Steve Kern at FCW before having a proper tryout at a Raw or a SmackDown taping. So what was your... Tell us a bit more about your WWE experience, and talk us through kind of the general happenings around that time.
Well, yeah. So the way you said that kind of applies more to now, because now TV is kind of the proper tryout, more or less. That's the protocol before they approve bringing you to an actual open tryout where you can try out in Florida at the Performance Center. Mm. Things were a little bit different back in December of 2009, which was when I went down to FCW as a part of close to 70 wrestlers were there from more or less all over the world. I mean, it was predominantly, I'd say, 90% American, but there were a handful of Canadians. There may have even been one or two from the UK, although thinking back, I can't recall anyone from the UK. There was one gentleman from France, but again, it wasn't very European, but there was still a mix of some flavors from a few different places. That was in December of 2009. And it was outstanding. I personally believe that I set the bar extremely high for everybody there in every aspect of what we were judged on, whether it be in-ring performance, whether it be promo skills, every type of obstacle they'd want to throw in front of us. I passed with flying colors, to the point where we are so far removed from that, literally almost 11 years removed from that. I do feel that if I were to have the opportunity to do it again, I don't think I would do as well, because everything just fell into place. Everything we were graded on, it was just A+, 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 some of which was by happenstance. but I still managed to ace just about everything that was thrown our way. Cut a promo that popped the entire wrestlers and staff that were there. Had three fantastic matches, the last of which was the last match that took place, which was with Jinder Mahal, who was a friend of mine who I had known and had already wrestled on the independent scene. They weren't aware of that. So we had a good comfort level and were able to do a tremendous match. I hit him with the 450, 1-2-3 for the finish. And literally 15 minutes later, he was awarded the only contract that was given out at that tryout. In one of my Joko interviews with Rhett Titus, who was also at the tryout, he also put over how many people thought that I was going to be the one to get signed, that it was either going to be, you know, me or Dinder, or perhaps him, or perhaps a gentleman by the name of Dustin Starr, another fantastic wrestler from out in the Western United States. But I was definitely in the running, and they pulled me aside once it was all said and done and said, you definitely have a future with this company. We don't want you to worry about anything. We're going to be hiring 10 people from here. I can't see you not getting hired. Everyone loved me. Billy Kidman, Norman Smiley, Steve Kern, Dr. Tom Pritchard especially, all took a liking to me. And I thought that was my golden ticket. I left my phone on. I was waiting for that call. Who knows? Maybe the call came and I didn't answer. But in 2010, I would end up going to Raw and SmackDown. And my goal was just to get hired. I mean, you had people sitting in the locker room, you know, talking about Hulk Hogan and all these things. And just, you know, to me, it's like, no, I'm here to get a job. I take this very seriously, maybe to my detriment, but I take wrestling very seriously. It's a business. I want to make my living doing this. I want to be successful in it. I'm not your typical independent wrestler who does this on the weekends and doesn't live a professional's lifestyle. I train just as hard in the gym and diet as though I were on the road, as though I'm on national television, because you need to look the part to get the part. I refine my wrestling abilities, my speaking abilities. I don't want to have any weaknesses. I don't want to leave any doubts. So I take this very seriously. And I said, why wait? I'm just going to go right to John Laurinaitis and find out, what do I need to do? Just, you know, put it in plain English, put it in black and white. Tell me what I need to do. Do I need to go and castrate myself? What do I need to do here to work for this company? Because look, tell me what it is and I'll do it. Plain and simple. Doesn't need to be more complicated than that. And I cornered him and we had it out. And, you know, there are many interviews out there. I don't want to, you know, waste our time going into every single last detail. But he ended up taking a liking to me, bringing me in to do some promos with Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler. Josh Matthews was also there. And he said, look, if your promos are what we're looking for, then, you know, I'll go to Vince and, you know, we'll hire you on the spot. And I do believe he was telling the truth. Unfortunately, my promos were a little over the top in terms of the delivery. And so they wanted more people who can tell stories, people who can say things that sound more believable. He actually compared my promos to The Rock, which I think that was a great compliment. But it wasn't what the company was looking for at the time. So like I do with all those things, I took that with me and said, I'm going to fine tune that and I'm going to master what they want to see, because this is what's keeping me from being able to live my dream. The next day, they actually gave me a match on SmackDown against Curt Hawkins and Lance Archer. So that was a high point in my career. Got to do that match. Got great reviews from everyone. Lance Archer had even said that they had done a squash the week before, and one of the guys messed up the many of his maneuvers in the match. And I really feel like my bumping and what I did for them helped to really make them look good. So again, I wasn't given a lick of offense, but I made the most out of what I was given. And again, thought that this was going to be my golden ticket, that they would see that, you know, I'm a talent worth having. Unfortunately, I learned that it's one of those things where you have to stay on top of them. You can't just let things come and go, because they'll quickly forget about you. As I found out when I went back in 2012, and things had totally changed. Now, William Regal was in charge of the evaluation. It was a different process. Got to go in the ring and wrestle, got to cut a promo again in the same kind of situation. Got flying past with flying colors in the promo. Rave reviews from William Regal himself. Everyone in there loved the promo. However, he said that my footwork was a little questionable. Now, whether that was the case or not, I took him at his word, and I went out and I started taking boxing courses because he said that would improve my footwork. I think my footwork is absolutely tremendous because I did that. And so it, again, speaks to how I am willing to take criticism. I'm willing to humble myself. And I'm willing to add new skills to be the best possible me I can be. And I think that I would be one hell of an acquisition for any company out there who would want someone different I mean, you're the host of this. I know you're supposed to be asking questions, but when you look at Jeremy Proffitt and the skills I bring to the table, you know, who do I remind you of? Is there anyone? And feel free to, you know, say if there is.
Honestly, I think there is elements of The Rock in your confidence and the way you hold yourself and your promos, your speaking ability. Otherwise, I think you are very unique in kind of, and I was going to describe you later as the total package. You got the look, you got the wrestling ability, you got the moves, you're able to mix it up with pretty much anyone in the ring in any style of match. And you've got the talking ability, the talent and the ability behind the mic. So I think you are pretty much the total package and certainly, a beacon of light on the Canadian independent wrestling scene.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words. What I always like to say is, yeah, I may remind people of other people in terms of individual aspects of what I bring to the table.
And yes.
Perhaps that's by design because I do take inspiration from someone like The Rock. But a lot of my inspirations when it comes to speaking and promos come from outside of wrestling. Because why limit oneself to just what's inside wrestling? I think that's a problem with a lot of people. If I were to say that, you know, my inspirations on the mic come from people like Ice Cube, come from people like Kevin O'Leary, I could give you many examples, and people who are not outside the wrestling bubble might not know who those people are. But the fact is, when it comes to my speaking ability, it can be comparable to certain people. But then when you look at the other aspects, I mean, we've not seen The Rock hitting any 450 splashes or moonsaults to the outside of the ring or anything like that. I think I got him beat in that category. Whereas The Rock, you look at his physique, it's pretty questionable if there were any chemical shortcuts involved with that, other than, you know, with Jeremy Proffitt, who is 100% natural, no drugs, no steroids, no juice for his entire lifetime, 100% natural with a physique like this. So it's where I look at anyone, and I got to say, when I appraise myself and I appraise myself against the best, yes, there will be people who do things better than me. But if you look at the things that I do better than them, I feel that I check many, many, many more boxes. And put me up against anyone, against the Kenny Omegas, the Roman Reigns. That's my competition. My competition isn't the person whose name is beside me on an indie card. You know, that's not, I look at the big picture because that's my competition. These are people who've been doing this as long as me, just on a bigger stage with brighter lights. I think that if you want to invest in a stock before it becomes too pricey for you, Jeremy Proffitt is the best example of that because I know that I'm going to be a big star in this business simply because I've been doing this for so long and I have yet to set foot in the ring with somebody who I feel is leaps and bounds ahead of me. That is yet to happen. So I want to test my skills against the best, and I think I can be an exemplary example of the rest of the talent here in Canada who would also put to shame many talents the world over if only people would open their eyes and begin to look to Canada.
Exactly. Yeah, back to one of our kind of original points about Canadian talent unfortunately being overlooked. But looking ahead to the future then, Jeremy, you know, you've had this unfortunate enforced break during the pandemic this last year and a bit. You've probably had time, and probably for the first time in your entire career, to stop and reflect on you as a performer and you as a wrestler. When you do get back into action, are we likely to see a different Jeremy Proffitt, maybe with a fresh perspective? Fresh perspective on wrestling when you do return to the ring in the near future?
The great thing about your question is that irregardless of this layoff of the pandemic, every time you see Jeremy Proffitt in the ring, you get a different Jeremy Proffitt. There are a lot of wrestlers out there who are pigeonholed into doing the same things in the same order all the time. Give or take maybe a few variations here and there. It's the same moves, in the same order, the same story. Go watch any two Jeremy Proffitt matches. Unless it's Jeremy Proffitt against the same opponent on a tour where certain things are imposed on me, and even at that point, I doubt that it's going to be the exact same match. You will never see the same Jeremy Proffitt match twice. You will not see the same moves in the same order sequentially. You will not see that. You will not see the same story. I call myself the man of a million moves simply because I don't limit myself to just the few things I do well. I want to always add, always change, always stay unpredictable. Just like when I do one of these interviews, and I love the fact that it's live because the fact that it's live, I want to have people on the edge of their seats. I want them to think that at any point I could say anything that's off color. You know, the reason I speak so well is because I don't have to lie to people. I tell the truth. When you tell the truth, you don't have to lie and then think of the next lie to justify the first lie to get to the third lie, because you're just embellishing your value and your worth. I just tell the truth. I say what comes to mind. I'm not scared of being canceled. I'm not scared of saying something that's edgy and pushes the envelope. I don't have to watch my tongue because I know what I'm doing. I'm just speaking the truth. The truth will always set you free. Just as some people can't handle the truth, but the truth remains eternally the truth all the time. So when it comes to wrestling, you are going to see a different Jeremy Prophet, but that's just the way it is. You don't get the same Jeremy Prophet match 2 times in a row or at all. So keep your eyes open, because what you're going to see ain't going to be like anything you've seen before. And let's face it, I've talked so much trash. I've done so many interviews like this. I have to deliver. I have to. I back myself into these corners through saying the things I say, because I know I can back them up. And, you know, you can't talk trash if you don't think you can back it up. And believe me, I think when it comes to talking trash, I'm second to none.
There we go. Very, very well said. But I want to talk about Jofo in the ring. We mentioned it at the top of the show, Jeremy. You are one of the co-hosts along with Frank and Kyle every single week. Fantastic viewing. One of the premier, one of the featured shows on the Jonas Podcasting Network, of course. But tell us about how you first got involved with Jofo in the ring. I'm guessing that over the last year or so, with no wrestling action, it certainly kind of filled a gap for you. And you've had the opportunity to interview some fabulous guests, some Hall of Famers, some real legends of the business. Tell us about Jofo in the ring and some of the awesome guests that you've had on the show.
Well, the relationship between myself and the Jofo crew goes back many, many years. Our executive producer, Bruno, the man you never see on screen, he played on 10, we had 10 years of hockey together on the same team. We go way, way back to our childhood. There was even a photo posted on our Facebook group, I think, of he and I when we were maybe about 6 or 7 years old on the same team. So I've known him for a good chunk of my life, and he's always been a wrestling fan. I was always a very big wrestling fan, took things a little bit further, and became an actual successful professional wrestler. With that said, this crew and I, we have a good symbiotic relationship, because I feel one of the main things I lacked throughout my career was the social media presence. Was telling people about the work that I do, because to me, I wasn't one to brag. I would let my work speak for itself. So my body of work over 15 years, you can see it on YouTube, it's out there. But unfortunately, we live in a day and age where if you don't direct people to it, they won't see it. Let's face it, the wrestling business, it's all about who you know and who knows you. So it really doesn't matter how good you are if nobody knows who you are. So I feel I've been good. I've been damn near immaculate in what I do. But I've been like a tree falling in a forest without anyone to hear it. Now, Jofo has given me a form to be able to express myself, whether people want to accept my form of expression or not, because quite frankly, I don't care. It's like I say, you don't have to judge the messenger. Just listen to the message and see what it does for you. So I'm willing to be vilified if that means me being allowed to express myself the way I want to. With Jofo, they help to amplify that, and I help to bring my experience as a broadcaster, as a podcaster, as someone who studied journalism, and someone who actually, believe it or not, I actually have the most experience out of the entire Jofo crew in terms of hosting a show. I used to host a radio wrestling show called Wrestling Uncensored as part of the Ringside Report Network, along with a good friend of mine, David Simon, who still carries on the show to this day. We started it back around 2003, 2004. And I was a part of it right up until my career started taking me to places that made it so that I wasn't able to be a consistent part of the show, which would have been maybe around 2013, 2014. So that's almost a good solid 10 years of broadcasting that I had under my belt. And that was actually broadcast on radio as well as on internet. But at the time, we didn't realize that podcasting was the wave of the future. I look back at it now, I'm like, wow, I really should have stuck with it and you know, kept that ball rolling. But unfortunately, I fell out of it, concentrated more on professional wrestling until I connected with the Jofo guys and they brought me back into it so I could bring my wealth of experience, connections in the wrestling industry, and a general sense of entertainment to the table. And it's been a great relationship. We all bring something different to the table. We're all very hardworking. And I think it's a show definitely worth checking out, whether you want to hear great insight into wrestling or you just want to watch a show and be entertained. So we bring it all to the table. And we're very privileged to have, you know, people like you out there that are willing to help us with your network to help spread the word and to let people know that we're out there telling the truth, even if it is just our effing opinion, which is what JOFO stands for, by the way.
There we go. And you've had some amazing guests, like I alluded to earlier, the likes of Jazz, The Godfather, Sabu, Tyson Kidd, Devon Dudley, many, many more. I think your most recent one is possibly with Eugene. What are some of your personal highlights of some of these amazing interviews and some of these incredible guests that you've had on the show then, Jeremy?
Well, I wish I had a fancy, elaborate story to tell, but really I'll rather tell one from the heart, which is the fact that a lot of these people, like TJ Wilson, like Eugene, you know, our most recent one was actually PCO, Pierre-Carl Ouellette, Rhett Titus. These are people I've had personal interactions with, people that I've wrestled with. And to me, it's just getting the opportunity to catch up with old friends. You know, we did two audio exclusive podcasts, one with Matt Stryker, one with the Pope D'Angelo De Niro. These are people I've been around at wrestling shows. Pope and I won tag titles together. It's really just me catching up with old friends. It's me reaching out to them and saying, hey, we haven't spoken in a while. Rather than, you know, me picking up the phone, why don't you come on and be a guest on the show? And we can just catch up and put it out there and people will listen to it. So I think it gives us a bit of an advantage because I'm so deeply entrenched in the wrestling business. And it's helped me to realize that I guess I have a lot more friends in a lot of good places than I realized. And so it's about now sharing my stories with them and helping to amplify, you know, whatever their situation may be. So I want to make sure that everybody who comes on JOFO, they get something out of it, that it's not just episode and it's one and done and then it's into the archives. It's you come on, you're helping our visibility. We want to help your visibility, shed light on whatever your cause might be. And it really comes down to me just being a better friend than I was to these people. So that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah. And just flipping back to your wrestling career then, I mean, you've had a very successful career, 15 years, as we know. Kind of doing my research on you, Jeremy, you've won probably about 15 different championships over the course of your career, many of them multiple times as well. Sorry?
I said, sounds like you didn't do enough research.
Please correct me.
Oh, no, I mean, again, I believe I've won actually upwards of 30 championships.
Ah, okay. No, that's great. Like I say, a lot of those multiple times. You was even featured in the 2014 PWI 500. You've interviewed lots of awesome guests. You've been in the ring with Hall of Famers and legends. But what are some of the proudest moments that come to mind when you look back at your wrestling career to date then, Jeremy?
Well, definitely, I would say WWE, the match I did on SmackDown, that's part of my legacy that can never be taken away, never be erased unless they don't want this handsome face on Peacock. But when it comes down to it, can't take that away. Can't take away my experience in Florida with FCW, winning over the praises and adulations of that entire staff there. That, you know, if anyone wants to doubt me on those stories, feel free to reach out to any of those people. They'll be happy to tell you the truth. Also, most recently, obviously, the Jericho Award, someone who's had such a huge impact on my career. In fact, the very first wrestler I ever had the opportunity to do an interview with was Chris Jericho back in 2004 for the newspaper that I 2005 actually for the newspaper that I was working for. And so everything kind of came full circle there with Chris, with the advice that he gave me as I was just getting started out in the business, and to now where he again endorsed me this past year. And I do feel that Chris and I, you know, I would love to get that match, and I do think that he could be someone that could definitely help Canadians quite a bit. And so, yeah, those would definitely be highlights. Getting to wrestle just, you know, and travel and all of these things, huge highlights. Meeting Vince McMahon. Meeting Vince McMahon in a parking lot after my match on SmackDown. Just he and I in the parking lot, literally bumping into and making physical contact with him. You know, that's definitely a highlight as well. But getting to say that I performed for the WWE, to my knowledge, I think I'm the only Jeremy to have performed in WWE. They let me keep my name Jeremy, so I appreciate that. That was also a bit of a bucket list goal. But I don't look to the past. I look to the future. I have a lot to give. I'm in the prime of my life. I can go with the best of them. I mean, look, I dare anyone to step in the ring with me and test my skills. I have yet to meet my equal. So if anyone wants to put that to the test, I talk a big game, but I also deliver. So I want to be able to expand my career. I want to be able to get out to the UK. I hear so many good things about your scene. I've had the chance to wrestle a lot of people from the UK. I had the chance to wrestle Pete Dunne, even, to challenge him for the
incredible UK champion. Yeah.
While he was NXT UK champion, I had the chance to fight him here in Montreal. So, I mean, you know, Pete Dunne, I was very impressed by what he brings to the table in the ring. So if he's a representation of what many of the wrestlers are like on the British independent scene, I would love to sink my fangs into those guys and show them what this Canadian is capable of. I want to travel the world over. I want to bring this brand of truth everywhere. I want this to be a crusade. I want people to see me and to see what Canada represents. That's the job of a prophet. A prophet is to spread the word and to speak the truth and to bring about the energy that brings about change. So that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to cause this rapture, this resurrection of Canadian talent. And even if it's just me marching alone or people want to get behind me, that's fine. I'll do the work myself. I've been doing it since day one. And I want to make a difference for the people here in this country.
Absolutely awesome. And we'd love to have you over here in the UK. Like I say, you wrestled Pete Dunne, kind of the cream of the crop, really. But there's such kind of a huge pool of UK talent. Hopefully you'll get to see and wrestle more of them in the future. But before we let you go, Jeremy, this is an opportunity to throw out any social media plugs. Where can we find you? Say hi, find out more about The Prophet on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever we might be able to find you on social media, my friend.
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Twitter. It's at Jeremy Prophet, JeremyProphet. You can follow me on there. Shoot me a message. DMs are always open. Say you heard me on the Johnners podcast, and I'll be happy to converse with you and to tell you more about what I'm all about, or we can just talk wrestling. It's all good. I'm very easy like that. You can also follow me on Instagram at TheRealJeremyProphet, and you can follow me I think we're now on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on JoFo in the Ring for outstanding guests, very entertaining, and always delivering the truth, even if it is just our opinion, every single week. So that's how you can see me. That's how you can keep in touch with what I'm all about. And who knows, you know, maybe I'll be here again on your wonderful podcast sometime in the near future, maybe once I'm performing on a bigger stage or heading over to the UK for a handful of shows.
That would be awesome. And if you do head over here, I'll be sure to find you and say hi myself in person. But Jeremy, it's been awesome having you on the Wrestling with Jonas podcast. I want to thank you so much, my friend.
Likewise, it's been a pleasure. And like I always like to say, you know, wrestling is such a wonderful sport because regardless of if you're in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, or if you're over in the UK or anywhere in the world, we have this wonderful sport that unites us. There should be no borders, no boundaries when it comes to professional wrestling. And that is my crusade. But at the end of the day, I'm happy to be able to talk with someone like yourself and share in the love of this wonderful sport, professional wrestling.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Jeremy Prophet, thank you very much.
Thank you.